Today we're going to talk about toils and troubles.
Tsuris.
I don't know, tsuris is not the right word, but maybe. There's a joke they tell about three elderly women in Miami Beach. They sat down for lunch and one says, oi, and the second says, oi vei. And the third said, oi vei is mir. And the fourth said, I thought we're not talking about our children today. This is a Jewish idea, because in the Haggadah, when we're recounting the story of the Exodus, so we actually have an annual mitzvah of recounting our story when we bring the first thing fruit. And that's found in Parshas Ki Tavo. And over there, we get lines to read. We actually have lines. We're on page 31 in the English, 30 in the Hebrew in the Haggadah that we're using. So in the Haggadah, which partly takes its name from Higadti Hayoim, when we're standing in front of Hashem at the Beis HaMikdash, we say, I have come to raise my voice and say thank you today. We say, the Pasuk says, V'es Amaleinu. V'es Amaleinu V'es Lachatzeinu. Our troubles, our toil, and the pressures to bear, the troubles we had. So the question, of course, is, what does that mean? And in the Haggadah, on the night of Pesach, when we're telling the story at length, we expound these verses, and we kind of, so these accordion, we kind of open the accordion. It's okay, so what does this mean? And we said, V'yes Amaleinu, what do we mean? It says the Bala Haggadah, V'yes Amaleinu, and our troubles, or our toil, oh, Elo Habanim, this is the children. That's our toils. How do we know? K'moshe Nemar, as it is written, Kol Habein Hayiloid, every child, or more accurately, every son that will be born, Hayeira Tashlichu, he should be cast into the Nile River. V'chol Abbas, and every daughter, Techayim, you should make her live. So the first thing that we notice in looking at this part of the Haggadah, this specific paragraph, is we make a statement. It's a scriptural statement. We want to qualify the statement. We want to explain what it means. So previously we've said, for example, Vayishma Hashem is Kelinu. Let's go back two paragraphs. Hashem heard our voice. How do you know Hashem heard our voice? Where does it say in the narrative, in the story, Hashem heard our voice? It says, Shenemar, as it's written, Vayishma Likim is Nakosam. He heard our groans, and he remembered the covenant. It says, Vayares Anyenu. He saw our deprivation. How do you know? K'moshe Nemar, like it says, Vayar Elikim is B'nai Yisrael. God saw the children of Israel. That's what it says. We have a verse in Parshas Ki Tavo, in Chumash Devarim, which is telling us what we should say when we come to bring the Bikurim. Here's what you should say. Here's how you should acknowledge Hashem's thanks. Tonight we have this sacred duty of recounting the story of the Exodus, as we explained on Shabbos, explaining the details of the Exodus, not only when we left, but what led up to that, including the slavery, the bondage, the abuse that we suffered at the hands of our Egyptian taskmasters. So we make a statement, we interpret what the scripture says, and then we qualify it with a quote. Vayar v'esam aleinu, and our troubles, our toil, elo habonim. This is the children. K'moshe Nemar, like it says. And then in the K'moshe Nemar, and as it says, the scripture or the verse stated doesn't seem to contribute towards the statement you just made. The statement was, Samaleinu, that when it says toil, it means the banim, it means the children. Shanemar, because it says all the children should be thrown into the Nile River.
In English, they translate it suffering, though. Is that an accurate translation?
It's not inaccurate. All these words lend themselves to multiple English translations. Amaleinu, amal is usually toil. Okay. Like Adam la amal yula, the person was created for toil, not created for suffering. It could be you're not looking at anyenu. You sure? Take a look in the English translation.
Oh, you're right. It says anyenu. You're right. Sorry.
Right?
My mistake.
Okay. So this is the concept of toil. So the Rebbe points out that the notion that amal is toil. And usually when we say the word toil, what do we mean? This person says, I toiled. working in what way?
Hard work.
Marshaling every ounce of wherewithal. To really work hard. That's toil. Because did you work hard in this? Nah, it was nothing. For me, this was a little thing. That, I really had to toil at. I know I had to really invest all of my ability, all my wherewithal. What we say in Yiddish, my ganze koyach. So the Rebbe points out, with regard to omol, that when it comes to toil, to expending every ounce of strength, that there's a pasuk in the book of Genesis, and the pasuk in the book of Genesis indicates, from Yaakov Avinu's discussion or his recounting what has happened in life, and then his giving a blessing and charting the future for his 12 sons on the day of his passing at his deathbed. So he says to Reuven, Reuven b'choy riata, Reuven, you are my son, koichi v'reishis oini. You are my strength. You are my first wherewithal. In other words, that we see from this, the Machzor Vitri tells us, that children are koichoi v'oinei shaladim. That a person puts himself in, invests himself into his children entirely. So even in the act of intimacy that creates a pregnancy, so a person invests himself fully, but the notion of children is koyach and oin. That's where a person's power goes. That's the greatest, we expend the most energy, or should expend the most energy, when it comes to children. The Rebbe further quotes, this is from the Machzor Vitri. In the Shebo'i Lehaleket, he draws on the Gemara Meseches Shabbos on page 32. On side B it says, the Gemara says, queries proverbially, Ezehu, Ezehin Maise Yodov Shal Adam. What is a person's handiwork? My handiwork. What does a person, so to speak, invest himself in? And the Gemara answers, Haveimer Banav Ubnesov. That's their sons and daughters. So the idea of children, that's where a person puts themselves the greatest oomph, the most energy. A person expends most of themselves on the concept of children. So how does that answer the question? I mean, the unspoken question is that it says Vasam Aleinu, and the Haggadah makes a statement, Elah Habbanim, and then the Shonemar is Kol HaBen HaYilud, the child, children you throw into the river. That would sound better with what you said, suffering. But that's not what it says here. It's talking about toil. So how do we understand that? So clearly, there has to be, that everyone's explained, that it seems to be without a question that when it comes to toil, that it refers to children, and that doesn't need to be qualified. It must be an unqualified thing. It must be something. It's not unqualified. It doesn't require a qualification. It doesn't require a statement. How do you know that such and such? How do you know? Everybody knows. If you have children, you know the children, they take at your koyach. That's the way it is. And because of this, we must say that raising children takes toil. There's no such thing as raising children right without toil. Rebbe used to oftentimes wish parents a gringo hadavanya, an easy toil. It's always going to be toil. It's not just thinking, raising children by itself. And it's so obvious, it's so simple, that the verse doesn't have to bring a proof. All the verse has to show you is that that the slavery had in some way touched the children's lives too. That the children were targets as well. That's all we need to know. Then we know that's our amal. Because the thing that's most painful for parents is when the children are touched. The Nazis, Yimach Shemam, perfected this monstrous art of torture. How did they torture people? They took the children. They took the children from the ghettos. They gathered the children first. And they gassed and murdered the children first. And the people were tormented by this notion of giving the children away, hiding the children. In the end, the head of the Warsaw ghetto, he killed himself because of what he had to oversee, the transports of the children. So we understand, all we need to know in the Pasuk is that the children were also targets. The moment we know the children are targets, we know that that's our toil. We know that that hurt us most. And therefore we say, Ves Amal Einu, it says Amal. We know Amal right away, it says toil. It says Amal, what does it have to mean? We know it means children. Like it says, like Yaakov Avinu says in the 49th chapter of Genesis. We know that it means Maisi Adav, Maisi Adav, Mao Maisi Adav. What is the Gemara? The Gemara says in Shabbos, what is it? It must refer Banav of Nesav. So we know already that this is where toil is. Now the only question is, Do we actually have a record of the children being targeted, or were only the adults enslaved? Shenemar, because the Baal HaGadol says no. The story of the Exodus, the story of the bondage that precedes the Exodus, clearly the children were the target. How do we know this? Because it says, Kol HaBen HaYilud HaYilud HaShlichu. Every child should be thrown into the Nile River. The Rebbe says from here we have to learn the lesson that if you're having an easy time of raising your children, you're not raising them well enough. You can't. Some things don't happen by themselves. And if they're children who are dutiful, you know, they obey and they're subservient and do what you want, this is a sign that you have to work even harder to raise them to in a better fashion, that they're capable of more. Because raising children is never going to come easy. Raising good children or raising children as good as they could be will not come easily. See, in today's day and age, people think children are supposed to raise themselves. They're supposed to lecture to the parents, tell the parents what's right and what's wrong, because they're so wise. They've been touched by the millennial wisdom. Not like the stupid parents who are stuck in darkness and have all this confusion. They are the truly wise. Look, they're going to make marches and tell everybody what to do. They should be the ones who chart the course of the future. Who told them? Where did they learn from? They don't have to learn from anywhere. They're kissed by God. They have this natural brilliance and it's unbelievable. Well, Yiddishkeit doesn't subscribe to that. Yiddishkeit suggests that parents and grandparents have to be invested in raising children and in communicating to them the values and the virtues and the beautiful legacy of our timeless and eternal Torah that doesn't need to be re-engineered by anybody. It doesn't have any toxins. There's nothing wrong with Yiddishkeit. It doesn't need to be fixed. It can only be broken when people, chas v'shalom, go away from the Messiah. And so that doesn't come easy. It doesn't come easy. That comes with effort. However, we also know that if a person works really hard and toils with Hashem's help, they will be successful. And how do we know this? We know this from the rest of the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because the Rebbe says, when the Jewish people did go out of Mitzrayim and they were at the Reed Sea, it says, the Medrash says, Heim hikiru t'chila. It was the little children that they saw first. The Rebbe once said in the 1950s, he spoke about a new generation. He spoke about raising a generation in America, children born in America, or maybe born in the DP camps but raised in America, and that these children could become the carriers of the tradition just as their parents and grandparents were. And the Rebbe said, when Mashiach will come, we'll greet Mashiach with a whole flock of a new generation that will have the label made in America. People say, America, Canada, it's a heathen soil. You can't grow Yiddishkeit. You can't grow real, vibrant, passionate Jews. That's over. That was in the Alte Heim. Today we don't even know. It's such a given that, of course, Yiddishkeit thrives in North America and South America. In the whole Western world, Yiddishkeit's thriving. Today it's a given. But in the 50s, people are laughing. So it's over. It's finished. Time to modernize. Get rid of the excess baggage where the whole ship is going to sink. And in fact, it's not the case. But that didn't come easy. That came with omel, a tremendous toil. So when you have that toil, it says that the children who are crossing the Reed Sea, as we say in Azyasha, it says, Zekeli van Vehu. This is my God, and I will glorify him. Elekei Avi is the God of my parents, Vareim Emenu. But the child understood Zekeli. They personalized the Yiddishkeit. They said, this is mine. And the Gemara says, you can point with your fingers. This, right here. This is mine. So the children who take possession, the children who buy in, the children who know that this is their thing, that's the result of the omel, of the toil that happened in Mitzrayim. Now, interestingly, we have this idea of kol ha-ben ha-yilud ha-yirut ha-shluchu. What does it have to do with our day and age? So the Rebbe says it's actually in a stunningly relevant reference to today's day and age. Because the Nile River was the source of parnasa, of sustenance for the Egyptians. It was so much the source that they worshipped it. They worshipped the Nile River. Now, the Nile River representing Parnassa, this is symbolic of a civilization or a society that worships money, that worships prosperity, that worships to have a lot. Meaning? Who has time for meaning? We just need to have materialism. A materialistically minded society, like the one we live in which people say, I need the things that are important. I have to give my child a good education. Why? So that he should be able to be the next link in the chain that goes back to Har Sinai? No, that he should make a good living. What will he do with a good living? Will he marry Jewish? Will his children even know what Hashem means and Torah mitzvahs mean? I don't know. That's not my job. That's not my thing. The rabbi can take care of that. I got to make sure he's wealthy. I have to make sure he has a good education so he gets a good job What about everything else? What about the things that really count? Like it says in yesterday's Hayom Yom, the Yiddish Reichtum, Jewish wealth, is not gold and silver and real estate. What's Jewish wealth? Children and children's children who observe Torah mitzvahs. So when a person is in Mitzrayim, in the metaphoric Egypt, in the narrow straits of Golos, and he thinks that society demands that he takes his child and throw him into the river of Parnassah, throw him into the waters which inundate and ultimately, chas v'shalom, drown the soul. He becomes drowning in materialism. We have a whole world today that is drowning, a Western world is drowning in materialism. And that materialism snuffs out the lifeblood of the soul. And this was the gzeda then, the decree in the time of Mitzrayim. This is the decree we have to battle today. And we battle this decree by rescuing those children, by understanding that the most important thing we give our children is not making a lot of money, but rather having a purpose to life and knowing what they live for. And the verse continues on and it says, V'chol habas t'chayim, and all the daughters should be given life. So the obvious question is, what does it mean, kol habas t'chayim? What's the point there? I mean, the Pharaoh should be indifferent to the daughters, the sons he wants to throw in the river. Of course, there's also this idea that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to be the Redeemer, and the Redeemer he knew was going to be a male. So therefore, if he could throw all the boys into the river, he wouldn't have to worry about a Redeemer being emerging, a Redeemer arising, because they're all dead. In fact, the day of Moshe Rabbeinu's birth, they threw not only the Jewish babies into the river, they threw the Egyptian babies too. Because the astrologer said, we can't see, something is confusing here. We don't know if he's Jewish or Egyptian. Of course, because Moshe grew up in the palace as the adopted son of Batya, as the adopted grandson of the Pharaoh. So they were confused. As that famous movie is called Prince of Egypt. It should be really Prince of Israel. Why did they call it Prince of Egypt? Because from the fact, you look at the details, it sounds like a Prince of Egypt. He grew up in the royal house as a Prince of Egypt. So they threw all the boys into the river. What about the women? What about the girls, the baby girls? And why did Pharaoh even care about them? He said, T'chayun. T'chayun is like an active, a charge. Make them live. Don't let them die. Make them live. So from this we understand, that Rebbe says, that the Pharaoh decreed with regard to the daughters also. What was his decree with regard to the daughters? T'chayun. Give them life, our kind of life. Give them the life that what we believe is life. Communicate our values, our Egyptian virtues, he said. Because what was the Pharaoh's ultimate hope? His hope was that the Jewish babies, the baby boys would be dead, and that the baby girls would grow up, they would intermarry into the rest of Egyptian society, and in this way, the destruction of the nation of Israel or the family of Jacob would be complete. And nothing has changed. Ever since then, the Jewish people have suffered with one challenge or the other. Either the pressures to try to literally, physically annihilate us, Rachmana Litzlan, as we learned earlier, B'chol Der V'Der in every generation, or the pressures to assimilate us, to make us, so to speak, just like everybody else. And assimilation could be worse than annihilation. Why? Because the end result is the same. No more Yiddish Kindlach, Rachmana Litzlan. This is followed with the idea of Eslach Hatzeinu. So the Amol, the toil that we had, yes, lachatzeinu. What does lachatz mean? Lachatz means pressure. Tremendous pressure. So zehad dochak. This is the pushing, the squeezing. K'moshan nemar, as it's written, v'gam etzayim re'isi, it's halachatz, asher etzayim loichetz emaisim. So it's a funny statement here in the Haggadah. We started off with toil. We had no proof what toil means. In the shenemar, in the verse, the quote of the verse, it doesn't say what toil is. It just says, we just brought proof that children were part of this. They were also targeted by the Pharaoh and his henchpeople. Okay. So then we said that's because it's self-understood that raising children takes toil. Here, we want to know, what is lachatzeinu? What's a lachatz? What's lachatzeinu? So you say, lachatzeinu? This is the dechak. Pressure? This is being squeezed. How do you know? Because the verse says, you see, it's a lachatz, Hashem etzayim loichetz emaisim. So the original quote from Deuteronomy is lachatz, lachatzeinu. The quote from Exodus is, Re'isi es halachatz, Hashem etzayim loichetz emaisim. It's the same word. And what's the interpretation in the middle? The interpretation in the middle is Zeh HaDochak. What's the proof that it's a dochak? Because it says lachatz. So we started off with the statement lachatz. We interpreted lachatz as dochak. And then we said shenemer because it's written. And we brought the word lachatz twice. What did the Baal HaGadol do here? What did he tell us? What did he tell us we didn't know? Well, it says lach. It starts off with lachatzeinu. The quote, which is a proof, is also lachatz, twice. In the middle, he inserted the word dachak. It doesn't say anything. So the Rebbe says in the Haggadah that the word lachatz can be understood in two ways. When you speak about pressures or pressures brought to bear, you could be speaking about material, physical pressure, that literally back-breaking load, literally beatings, literally no time to sleep, physically squeezing the person. And then there's another kind of dachak. And then there's what we would call emotional pressure. What we would call mental pressure. So we're talking about psychological pressures, terrorizing the people, squeezing them, but on a different level. And the Rebbe says clearly what we wanted, the Baal HaGadol wants to convey to us, that when we were in Mitzrayim, it was not just a question of physical pressures and hard labor. There was emotional torture. There was psychological warfare. And in doing that, the pressure that they had, Lehoyo Neisna Lehem Nucha, the Rebbe says, quoting the Abar Benel and the Zevach Pesach, they didn't give them any peace. They didn't have a peaceful day in their work. They'd wake them up in the middle of the night, they drive them crazy, they make demands, incessant demands. They couldn't even have a moment of taking pride in what they had done. And again, the Nazis are the perfect example. They tormented the people. It wasn't just the physical pressure. They constantly terrorized the Jews, and they drove them insane. Some people literally went insane. I was reading Rabbi Hirschsprung's book. He wrote a memoir from the war when he first came to Montreal. It's just now printed in English for the first time. It was serialized in a Yiddish newspaper. And he writes that in the first few months of occupation, he was inducted into a concentration camp. But he said the torture, the yelling, the screaming was so bad that he resolved that he committed suicide. He couldn't take it anymore. It took him one of the greatest minds, the greatest Torah minds of the 20th century. Rabbi Hirschsprung, Goan Atzum. He's young, he has koyach and everything. Couldn't take the screaming, the torture, the daily tortures. Couldn't take it. Not his torture, torture other people. And he escapes the camp. This is before things are really bad. This is just in the beginning. This is still in the autumn of 1940. And he says, in 1939, pardon me. He says he escaped the camp. He writes in his book, he didn't care if they'll shoot him. He wanted to kill himself. He couldn't take it anymore. He said, if they'll shoot him, at least he didn't do it. He knows he's not allowed to do it. He said, I didn't do it then. He just walked off. And miraculously, nobody shot him. and then he comes to another town. Eventually, he escapes, goes across to the Russian border, and that's how he survived. But the point here is that in Mitzrayim, the pressure was emotional, cerebral, psychological, on every, not only the physical level, but even more was the pressures brought to bear on the level of heart, mind, and soul. And that's the meaning of what the Baal HaGadol says, Vaslachatzeinu Zeha Dochak. The Dochak refers not to the physical pressures, but to the psychological pressures. So this little piece of the Haggadah actually refers all to the pressures, not physical pressures here. Because Amaleinu toil, it's the children. It's not the physical thing. The difficulty of raising children is not changing the diapers. It's not carrying the kids around because and they weigh and they're heavy. It's the emotional pressure, the psychological pressure. And the same thing also, the pressures brought to bear, so the Egyptians terrorized the children. The Egyptians didn't give them a moment of respite. And this was our situation. And from here, this is the climax of our suffering. This was the worst of the worst. After all the physical pressure, here the emotional, psychological torture as well. And then, of course, the next verse already, in the next paragraph, Vayetzienu Hashem Mimitzayim Beod Chazoka. Having maxed out now at the pressures, at the pain, at the suffering, at the anguish, the next thing is we introduce the idea of Hashem taking us out of the land of Mitzrayim to be continued.